Thank you. The conference is now being recorded.
Okay. Welcome to everyone to our meeting today. I don't think we'll go over an hour. That's my goal anyway. So let's go ahead and get started. We have Steve Del Bianco, Steve Metalitz, Tim Ruiz, myself, Aubrey, Alan, Liz, and Glenn on the call. Is anybody else on the call?
I don't think you mentioned me, Tony Harris.
Oh, I did mention you. Sorry, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Because I acknowledged you earlier, but I...
That's true, yeah.
Okay, I got you. Okay, good. Thanks. All right, so...
Also, this is Liz. I have with me Margie Milam.
Oh, hi, Margie.
Hi, my birthday.
Yeah, you're wearing a new hat today, huh?
That's right.
How does it look, Liz? Does it look good, the new hat?
Yeah, she's smiling. She's smiling, but I'm going to check in with her at the end of the call, okay?
Okay.
is she a new staff person?
She's a new staff person.
Oh, my.
She's on the policy team, right?
Yes, she is senior policy counselor. She has the same title as I do. In the policy. And she'll be taking over some issues, like, for example, she doesn't know this yet, but the registration abuse issue, but she's just listening today on Who Is.
Okay. Welcome, Margie. I don't think you're a new face to any of us, but we do welcome you on board to the ICAMP policy team. All right. Any suggested changes to the agenda? Okay. Then we'll go right to Excel file of priorities. And if you're on the wiki, Liz did one there that is, extremely helpful. I don't know where it disappeared to on my... I must have replaced it with something else. So I'll go back to it. The last one she has on there is a kind of a condensed version. I think it has priorities and it has some columns hidden. So if you want to see each constituency's views, then you need to look at a different version. But if you click on the last one, it's a real easy way, in my opinion, to look at the Excel file, because you can see it all on one page very concisely. It shows your the study area, the study numbers, the type. It gives an average priority rating, an average feasibility rating, and then some other data there as statistical data there as well. Now, is anybody uncomfortable with us looking at that version for our working document for the next few minutes so that we're all on the same page? Okay. Alan, this does not include any input from the ALAC or the GAC. Okay. Alan, can you kind of give us an update where the ALAC is on this?
We are likely to have some input, but it's not ready yet and probably won't be for at least a week, maybe a little somewhat more.
Do you have any clues to how the ALAC is proceeding in terms of, will it be very different than the things we're looking at here? Or because our plan today is to kind of start working towards maybe coming to some decisions where we could make recommendations to the council.
I understand, we understand, but we just don't have any concrete numbers at this point.
Well, then let me suggest that, you know, we're going to go, I don't know how far we'll proceed in terms of coming to some sort of agreement on this drafting team today, but if we proceed, if you could kind of redirect, I mean, we can obviously incorporate your numbers, so I still encourage you to submit the numbers if you can.
And we will. And essentially, at this point, assuming we come, this group comes up with some sort of recommendation or something closer to a recommendation, I'm going to pass that on. And at that point, our job will be more to say, are there any major differences, as opposed to giving a detailed summary, perhaps, or detailed.
Okay.
point-by-point one.
That's what I was going to suggest, so you're on the same page.
Yeah.
Ahead of me.
We're unfortunately couldn't make the deadline, but we will get something in either confirming what the group has decided or identifying where there's differences.
Okay. Now, the ultimate objective for the council is to identify some, if any, studies for which we would ask staff to develop some cost estimates and some feasibility estimates. So what I'd like to suggest we do now, and I'm welcome to other suggestions if you don't like mine, and that is that we kind of look at the priorities for right now, and it seems to me as we're looking at the average priority, we have three that are greater than three as an average priority, and we have one other one that is nearly to three. So if you look at, and in fact, Liz, and this another advantage of this chart. Sorry, I didn't mention that. Is they are sorted by average priority, and so the top six maybe. If you go to the top six, there are all at 2.81 or higher. Then it drops off a little bit after that. So one approach, and I'm just throwing this out to get discussion started. We can go a totally different direction, so please don't take what I'm saying as determinative. One approach we could take as a first step, if there's agreement in the group, strong support, not necessarily unanimous, then we could ask staff to take the first six categories there, or some lesser number, we could do as well, like we take the top three or something, and say, hey, let's go ahead and proceed. Our recommendation is to go ahead and have staff proceed with cost estimates and feasibility estimates for these studies. Now, keep in mind, the council ultimately has to make that decision. Our task is just to put something forward, and if we go a direction like that or some other direction, then maybe we can also draft a motion that could be considered at the next council meeting on the 29th. So let me stop talking there. I just threw that out to get things going. Let me open up a queue, and let's see what other people are thinking.
Put me in queue, Tony Harris.
Okay, Tony. Who else? Anybody else right now? Okay, go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say that I think that's quite a good suggestion. I mean, if you take the top six, they're the closest ones to a general consensus by default, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Obviously, there's not a full consensus. We know that because we have two constituencies that don't think any study should be done, and we need to always keep that in mind and recognize that. Anybody else want to comment on that or make an alternative suggestion? Now, if we went that route, while you're thinking, hopefully, if we went that route, that wouldn't necessarily eliminate other studies. I think that what that would do is we don't want to overload staff with too much at any one time, so it's actually probably helpful if we don't give them everything at once. And maybe I should ask Liz to comment on whether six maybe are too many to start with.
I would be a little concerned, although I'd have to get some experts involved to even assess it, only because when you look at the six, several of them are studies that we've already combined because we think they overlap or relate. But I think we would still need some expert, intellect to craft a study out of, the three or four ideas that we think are related that makes the most sense, where there could be puts and takes to various approaches, even to a single study potentially. So my preference is less rather than more to start, but it's up to you all. I think it is complex. It's not an automatic or simple process, I think, to take, for example, study letter A which is several studies, and say, okay, of the that are related, that overlap, and say, okay, what's the right study to craft out of this, with, and what are the ingredients that we would need, the data points, and et cetera. So that's just a thought, but again, it's just based on my reaction, not having consulted with an expert at this point.
Now, another thing we could do if we went this direction and identified six for now would be to give staff the flexibility, they probably would have it anyway, whether we give it or not, to, you know, proceed progressively, that they don't all have to be done at the same time, so they can, as they have resources, proceed through the studies. I do believe that it would be very good from a PR perspective for the GNSO to take some action as soon as possible. We know that the GAC is very concerned in this area and other members of the community. So to actually show some progress, I think would be very nice if we could do it as soon as the meeting on the 29th. But I'm not trying to push that. We as a group need to come to at least rough consensus on that.
Can you put me in the queue? This is Aubrey.
Sure, Aubrey. Go
and
ahead.
And Bianca as well.
I got you, Steve.
And Steve.
Okay.
Got you, Steve Metallic. Hey, Aubrey, go ahead.
Okay, I think in doing six, I mean, one of the things that the experts can also do, because I think one of the places where all our evaluations, at least I know mine were hand-waving, was on what is feasible and how long various things take. So in other words, while they're looking, whether it's the top three, the top five, the top six, they can look at that sort of issue. In terms of making the GAC happy, notice that most of the GAC studies did not show up in those top six, except for those that got combined in with some of the others. So I'm not sure that it'll do a lot to make them happy.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to leave the meeting and go back and look at the at how many GAC studies are incorporated in those top six. Could somebody do that while we're talking here? Just take a look at the top six there and see how many GAC studies are included in that.
Chuck,
if I'm right. What's the data set?
I heard Tim and Tony, I think.
I'll defer to Tim because I've already spoken, and then I'd like to say something.
Oh, okay. So you want to be in the queue. Okay, gotcha. All right, Tim?
There's six GAC studies and a data set.
So there's actually seven if we include the data set in those top six.
Right.
Thank you very much. So that's not bad. In my opinion, Aubrey, you're probably right. It's probably going to not thrill the GAC, but at the same time, it's we've used a fairly objective process to the extent that it can be objective, and so I think we can at least explain the rationale how we got here, and we're not eliminating. We don't necessarily have to eliminate any other studies at this point in time either. Aubrey, are you done?
Oh, yeah.
I had something, Chuck. Yeah.
Something about this specifically, Tony, you want to follow up? Go ahead.
About
Tony.
This. Yeah, I'm speaking from memory because I haven't gone back. It's exactly how we made our submitted our preferences. Just looking at the chart, I think that several of the top six are right at the bottom of the original chart. They're the last, among the last five or six. And from memory, those, I would say, I'm pretty sure, they deal with data gathering and collection, and in a way with accuracy, too. So I struggle to find how that would not be of interest to the GAC.
Explain that for me, Tony. I'm saying
that when we're talking about the top, the priority ratings, the first six, right?
Right.
I haven't been able to open that document where you ordered them, but I do see the ones that are over three and the 2.9s on the original general chart where all these submissions are from all the constituencies, okay? The priority, the priorities. And they are in the slots, which in my my short memory from when we made our submission some days ago, the top ones would actually call for studies on data collection and gathering, and in a way accuracy also. I could be wrong, but I think they refer to that, the ones that have the highest average rating. Okay?
Thanks, Tony. Steve DelBianco.
Could you put Alan in?
Thanks, Chuck.
Gotcha, Alan.
Chuck, I was focusing on the suggestion you made earlier that we might, on this call, try to move towards a resolution, a council resolution, right?
Right.
And I was going to ask whether such a resolution, what would be the parameters of it? Because I think it would help to focus discussion, given that we want to do this in an hour. Would it be an initial set of studies for costing, or is it meant to be the only set of studies? And I would recommend it also include a, it should be a self-evident resolution so that one doesn't have to refer back to the wiki or drill down into all the documents to understand what's in Group B, for instance. But we could delineate the elements of each study as part of the resolution. And I think it would be pretty substantial, and we could indicate that the GAC has got five studies and one full data set that are covered within this initial set. So what could you tell me more about what you're thinking in terms of what a council resolution might look like if we could come to one?
Well, forgetting the detail that you suggested, which I think is a very good idea, okay, making it self-contained, the motion self-contained, would be very helpful, I think, for the council and others that look at the motion and constituencies and so forth. The idea would be to recommend to the council that they consider asking the staff to initiate the process of developing cost estimates and feasibility estimates for the following studies in progressively as they're able to do it. They don't have to all be done concurrently, I don't think. And my suggestion basically was not to shut the door on the rest of the studies at this point, but to get something started, and then this group could continue to look, and maybe we want to postpone it a little bit because I don't know how good it is to overload staff any more than six for a while, but we can talk about that too. So does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And by the way, I hope you're ready to volunteer on that detailed motion. I'll let you think about that while I turn it over to Steve Metallic.
Thank you. I had two questions. One really builds on what Steve DelBianco was just asking, and that is really kind of to ask the staff if a motion like that were adopted, what would you do? I mean, would you find a vendor to work with you on doing cost estimates, or how would, I guess my question is, how do you think the staff would proceed if that were the motion?
And let me tack a corollary question to that, Steve, if you don't mind, and that are there funds in the budget to do this now?
Well, I don't have a exact recipe for how we would go about this. We would clearly consult with expert resources who I would venture to guess most likely would be external to ICANN, done on some, you know, bid or consulting basis, both in terms of assessing cost and feasibility and in terms of actually conducting the studies. And again, I have given some thought to researchers and approaches that we might engage in, but I don't have a direct answer. In terms of the budget, it has been understood ever since we've been talking about studies that there would be costs associated with studies there's no budget set aside for it, but there is a placeholder for expenses associated with SUIS studies in the operating plan, with the assumption that based on the estimates that we get, we would just insert those numbers and deal with the costs at that time. But there is the understanding that there would be costs associated that ICANN would be prepared to bear, at least to some degree.
And so it would be possible to at least, you know, come back with the cost estimates and feasibility estimates in the relative near term, more may need to be budgeted to actually do the studies in the next year. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
But it could be done this year. I mean, it's not to say that there wouldn't be the ability to proceed.
Okay. That's great. Steve Mattel, did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. I did have a second question, much narrower one, which is, could someone remind me what the significance of the double asterisks in some of the consolidated studies?
Oh, the notes. They referred to notes that were at the bottom of a... Has anybody got the, original table?
Is it relevant anymore? I guess is my question. I'm just not sure what those mean.
I had to write email. I'll dig up the stuff, because when I was going to the other non-com appointees, I had to answer that question and did put it somewhere, so let me find out where I put it.
Not urgent. I'm just
yeah, no, it's a good point. It kind of illustrates Steve Del Bianco's point that in any motion we develop, we should make it self-contained.
Absolutely.
So that's an excellent suggestion.
I'll follow up on that too, sorry.
Okay. All right, thanks. Okay. Let's go to Alan.
Yeah, this goes back to the issue of to what extent are we satisfying the GAC. I haven't taken part in many of the earlier calls, so I don't know the answer. Was there any consideration given to essentially filling in the table on behalf of them, giving a moderately high rating to the studies that they suggested, and lower or negative rating to the studies that didn't come from them, just to try to factor in their interests in doing
well,
it's a bit late to
we
say
did
it now.
Talk,
but.
We did talk about that just briefly, Alan, and correct me if I'm wrong in my memory, but we came to the conclusion, I think, that, boy, it's pretty hard to put numbers in for them. And I don't think very many of us, if any, felt comfortable with doing that. Now, somebody else want to respond to that?
I'd like to comment on that.
Go ahead, Tim.
Weren't the GACs study recommendations all based off of the collection of two sets of data? And so why would we not, in this first request then to the staff, just simply request a feasibility and cost study on the collection of those two sets of data? Because that would seem to be the logical first step to getting to the rest of the GAC's requested studies, and would likely collect data potentially that could be used for some of the other studies that the council might recommend or request.
That's an interesting idea. Comments on that?
Well, now, this is Steve. I think GAC data set 2 is encompassed in one of these, in A, right?
So it would be just the other data set that we'd have to do.
I have no recollection of what that is, but...
Right.
Instead of
on the other groups, we would just take out the other GAC studies for now and just say GAC data set 1 and 2, because a lot of the cost associated is going to be with collecting the data.
That's a very interesting idea, in my opinion. Other thoughts on that? So, in other words, Tim, if I'm understanding it correctly, we would add to the 6 the collection of the data for that first data set from the GAC in addition to the 6.
Yeah, but then remove the feasibility of cost studies for like GAC 1 and 11, 5 and 6, 9 and 10 that are all included in there.
You're not suggesting getting cost estimates for the associated studies with that data set, just collecting the data for it, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Anybody else have a question on that?
This is Steve.
Go ahead.
Could someone remind me what GAC data set 1 is?
Yeah, I've got it right here. It's the amount and source of traffic accessing WHOIS servers, and the types and numbers of different groups of users, and what those users are using WHOIS data for.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I would tend to agree with Tim that we should look at costing and feasibility on that. I'm not sure it's feasible, but it's worth looking at.
Yeah, and Alan, were you finished on your comment?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I was finished.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Anybody else want in the queue here?
Steve Del Bianco.
Go ahead, Steve.
I really appreciate the sentiments of most of the folks on the call as to how do we handle the GAC? How do we make the GAC feel as if we're ICANN's paying attention to them? I think that's a good move. I have a question. Liz, there was a discussion 2 or 3 weeks ago about a communication that we would send to the GAC, sort of explaining where we were, where we were going, and inviting them for input. Did we ever do that or decide not to?
No, we did it, and we, Donna talked to Giannis, and Giannis sent an email to the group, and we've heard nothing since then.
Got it. So we've made one critical outreach. That's real important. And the second thing I wanted to note is that members of the GAC will often say that they didn't give their letter to counsel. They gave it to the board. And some of them don't even appreciate that the board turned around and gave it to counsel for a bottom-up, consensus-driven policy development process. So in some sense, when counsel speaks on this, would counsel then communicate what we do today to the GAC so that they'll know that we're recommending that counsel pursue this, that staff come back with numbers, and that the board ultimately considers itself the one who received the GAC letter. So if the GAC is not happy with us picking 6 of their studies and 2 of their data sets, they would probably do their outreach and communication directly to ICANN's board and not to counsel anyway. So I support Tim's idea, and as well that we do as much communicating to the GAC as possible, but we never should expect a direct reply.
I think you're right on.
Can I comment on that?
Yes.
I think it would be a good idea. I wouldn't do it with what came out of here. I would certainly, you know, after a motion, assuming a motion is made and assuming a motion passes, would certainly, you know, consider it reasonable to forward a copy of that after, you know, after motions pass. I normally forward it on to the board secretaries, et cetera, and to send a copy of that to the GAC at that time would seem a reasonable thing, and could even be stuck in the motion as a recommendation that, you know, this be forwarded to them. So, but I wouldn't do it with what comes out of this drafting team. I would do it with what post-motion getting acted on.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, no, I think that makes sense too, Aubrey. Good point. Any other comments? Now, I don't want to be overly aggressive here, so slow me down if I am being that way. But if Steve is willing to take a first cut at the motion, I'm certainly willing to work with him in terms of finalizing it. To get it in front of the council by the meeting on the 29th, we have to submit it to the council tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean that a motion can't be modified, some amended, after it's submitted, but we would need to get the basic motion on the table with the council tomorrow. So, first of all, let me ask, is there anybody on the call right now that's opposed to the general direction we're going in?
This is Aubrey. I'm not at all opposed to that. Can I be in the queue, sir?
Hey, you may. Go ahead. So did somebody else want in the queue? I heard another voice.
Tim.
Okay.
And Liz at some point.
Okay.
I am not at all opposed to the notion. If we're trying for the detailed explanatory motion, I'm not sure that getting it there for tomorrow's meeting is necessarily necessary. We have one more meeting before the face-to-face. So I favor the direction. I'm not sure that it doesn't take a slight bit longer to work out the explanatory motion, and then for the constituencies to have a chance to look at it and talk about it, because it's sort of a big thing and it hasn't been taken back to them. But that's just an opinion.
Yeah, okay, and I that's why I was asking, am I being too aggressive? The next council meeting, by the way, is on the 19th of February, so it's about a month away. So, and that might still be okay. I think sooner is better just from getting things going, but I'll certainly respect the view of the total group here, whether it's whether we want to try to get something on the table for the 29th, or do we want to just shoot for the 19th of February? And I had Tim in the queue and Liz. Anybody else want in the queue? Okay, Tim.
Thanks. You know, I don't have any, I'm not objecting to the direction we were just discussing. What I would like to do is just point out one area that concerns me in the top six. And I know I've debated some of this, so I don't intend to restart a debate, but just something to think about, I think. And that is with regard to study group E. And again, my concern with that is that sounds like, both of those sound like requests for compliance activities on the part of staff. It seems that is separate from what, you know, what our real goal here is with doing, you know, who is studies. And I don't see why that compliance effort couldn't be requested or, you know, discussed outside of this who is study. So I don't know how the IPC and the BC, how strongly they feel about that. But four of the other three, the other three constituencies didn't feel it was a top priority. The NCAs evidently were all below. Maybe there was one that must have said four. So it doesn't seem quite as much support for grouping anyway. But primarily just thinking that that's something we could request outside of these who is studies. I just want to throw that out there.
But it's a good point, Tim. And would it be reasonable that staff, and when we're asking for cost estimates of a study and feasibility, I would think that, first of all, they're going to focus on the feasibility, because you can't, if something's not feasible, it's pretty hard to cost. But couldn't they also, I mean, would there be enough freedom for staff to come back and say, yes, we saw that it was suggested this might be a compliance issue, and they could come back and say that, and working with the compliance staff and whatever they needed to do. So I would think we wouldn't want to overly restrict staff in terms of what they come back with. If they, in their work, found out something that, you know, this really is a compliance issue and we don't recommend a full study. Now, the council could go ahead and do a full study anyway, or request one, but would that be a possible outcome from the staff work? Any thoughts on that?
From my perspective, Chuck, this is Tim Giggis, from my perspective, if that was, you know, if we're going to be flexible that way and assume that could be a response, then, you know, I have no problem with that.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. Aubrey.
Am I in the queue?
Yes.
Oh, drop me.
Okay, you are dropped. And Tim, did you have any? I had you in the queue, but are you? Do you have more?
No, that was it.
That was it. Okay, and then Liz.
So just starting, Tim, for clarification, you were talking about Area 6 there? Just there when you were talking about compliance?
Right.
It's studies 3 and 20.
I just want to reiterate again, I know there may be some disagreement about this, but from the compliance group's perspective, they don't view those two studies as being in the ambit or remit of compliance. They're not, you know, we talked about that on an earlier call. We can certainly revisit it, but this goes to 3773 and the adequacy of 3773, RAA provision 3773. But that wasn't my comment that I wanted.
My point was, this is Tim, my point was that you can't determine that unless there's some compliance data that goes with that. I mean, if you don't know, if registrars aren't compliant, that doesn't necessarily mean the provision isn't sufficient. It just means there's no compliance. That's a different issue than whether
the... But they aren't required to comply, I think, is the problem with it being a compliance test. So their reading of RIA Provision 3773 is it doesn't require them to respond. It just means that they accept liability if they fail to respond. So, excuse me. So in their view, they weren't making a judgment about whether a study should be done or not. They were merely saying that it wasn't a compliance issue and that the study, it might be better to postulate a study that, that discusses whether 3773 as currently defined in the RAA is adequate to address the concerns of those who are trying to use that provision to get information that they need.
Yeah, so maybe that would be something that would be commented on by the staff in response to the council's request, or...
I mean, yeah, we could put that in writing, but that's, you know, that that was the something that I was anxious to take back to the council in discussing these, because that those were mentioned as possible studies that compliance could do, and, you know, so I reviewed it with them, and that was their pushback. So we could certainly formalize that assessment that it wouldn't be a compliance study, but I guess it's my take at this point that the study hypothesis would need to be rephrased, too, and there would need to be agreement in this group to rephrase the hypothesis to evaluate whether 3773 is adequate, not whether there is compliance with 3773.
But that then goes in the direction of if we discover it's not adequate, then it becomes a policy issue.
That's right.
Okay. Now,
what I wanted to just hedge on a little was GAC data set 1. I'm just not remembering what we did with it in our hypothesis group, Chuck. I'm having a...
I'm not either, so...
And I'm sure we did something very wise, but I think there was a reason why we didn't leave it like we did data set 2, and I just don't want to commit to doing any kind of feasibility on that or assessment of that until I go back and retrace what we actually did with GAC data set 1. So I'd like to just put that caveat out there.
Thanks. Well, I'm getting the sense that it's probably not a good idea to press for a motion for the 29th. But I think the sooner we can get a motion out there in advance of the February 19th meeting, the better, and I mean more than 7 days if possible, because each of us are going to have to go back to our constituencies, and the more lead time we have on that, the better. So if we could get a motion out, I would say, in a couple weeks, I think that would be very helpful. Now, is anybody disagree with that sense that I just communicated? Okay, so my next question then is Steve Del Bianco, would you be willing to take a first crack at a detailed motion?
Chuck, I'm perfectly willing to help, especially with the part that resolves what we're going to study. But I need your help and Liz's help to surround it with all the whereas.
No problem.
We are.
If you'll take a first crack, I'll certainly help, and Liz, you would as well, right?
Of course.
Okay. And if anybody else wants to work on crafting that motion, just let us know right now, and we'll involve you too.
And am I right that we are going to try to pick up the GAC data sets in addition to the 6 items listed?
Well, let's start there right now, and then it's going to be important for us to have a discussion on that on the list once we get, and hopefully in a few days we can get a motion on the list, and let's look at that, and then people can take a look at data set 1 and comment on that, and we can decide in the next 2 weeks whether we want to include this. I think we're going to need probably another meeting 2 weeks from today, if that date works, in February. Let me look at that date myself.
Fourth.
So that's the 4th of February. I think that'll work for me.
Working backwards from February 19th, when do all the constituencies need to see a draft motion if it's going to be in front of council on the 19th?
Well,
in this case, 2 weeks in advance would probably be good.
Yeah, 2 weeks in advance would be the 12th. Excuse me, the 5th. the 5th. So we could actually probably get it done on the 4th in our meeting. That probably would be our main agenda item, to just finalize the motion and decide whether we want data set 1 and so forth, and we could all come prepared, having done our homework and so forth, so that our main agenda item, maybe only agenda item on the 4th, would be to finalize that motion.
Steve, may I make a follow-up, Chuck?
Yes.
To maintain some momentum, if we do the work of drafting a resolution, I would recommend we convene this call a week from today, not 2 weeks from today, while it's all fresh in our mind, and try to come to agreement on the language of the resolution, rather than wait 2 weeks. Because,
I think we have a council meeting in this time slot, or close to it, next week.
The
after, isn't it?
28th. I don't know what that is.
Let's see, in February.
Oh, no, Wednesday, not Thursday.
January the
28th.
28th, yeah.
I'm not sure.
You and I will be somewhere in Oslo.
Well, no, I'm aware of that, but I was talking about the council activity. I don't see any on the master calendar.
No, it's Thursday. I was a day off.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, no, I was going to bring that up, Aubrey. You and I both are in Oslo on that day, so it might be a little tougher for us to do it, but I wouldn't have any problem if someone else wanted to lead the call. Would you, Aubrey? We might be able to make the call, but in case I can't, if somebody else wants to take the responsibility.
Chuck, it's Steve. I was going to recommend that we could all commit to get back and mark up the draft resolution by next Wednesday, even if we can't have a call.
That's good. In fact, I was hoping that we would do a lot on the list before we get to a final decision. Does that work? Okay. All right, time's going by very quickly here. Our hours haven't got much left, but I don't think we're going to need a lot of time on the term. So Steve, you've got the primary action item there in terms of first cut, and then if you'll shoot that to Liz and I, and then the three of us via email should be able to work that, I think, and let's try and... If we can get that done this week, it would be very good, so we can get it out to the list so that they have a few days to meet your Wednesday deadline next week. That would give them 3 days for maybe the weekend too to start having some dialogue on the list.
All right, I'll try to commit to get something to you guys by midday tomorrow.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks. Any other discussion on this topic? Okay, then let's go to the terms, the definitions. Thanks for the work that happened on that, and thanks, Steve Metalis and the IPC for suggesting some edits and so forth. Liz, I want to let you take a crack at talking about where we're at there, and including talking about or having Steve Metalis talk about their suggested edits.
Okay, so just to remind everyone, there were 8 terms that back in Cairo the group identified as meeting working definitions with the idea that if we could come up with definitions that essentially articulate the collective thinking about what was meant by these terms, that it would guide the conductors of the studies to know what was meant when these terms are used in study hypotheses. So that's the backdrop. There were 8 terms that were identified that are in these study hypotheses that the group thought needed to be defined by the group. I want to draw your attention. So the document that is dated January 9th, we have 2 documents, versions of this now, swirling. One is the updated version that I posted on the wiki January 9th that reflects the conversation we had on the 7th of January, plus some edits from me that I'll explain. And then just yesterday I forwarded revisions that the IPC proposed to the earlier draft that I sent out. And I just, before turning it over to Steve to discuss the IPC draft, the one that I sent that's posted to the wiki also dated January 9, which includes edits that we discussed on our last call, also makes two suggestions for revisions to the terms themselves. Because I went back and checked each of the study hypotheses and realized that the terms actually used in the hypotheses were slightly different than the terms that made it to our list. I apologize. I thought I had double-checked that in Cairo, but it seems that a couple slipped through. So the two that are a little different when you actually look at what the study hypotheses say than what was originally defined is the term undesirable content, the first one, which is actually referenced in the study hypotheses as illegal or undesirable activities, not undesirable content. And then the very last one, number 8, which I had previously identified as adequate protective measures, when you look at the study hypotheses themselves, the terms that you actually see are technical measures or effective measures or adequate corrective measures, but not adequate protective measures. So in going back to the first term, this illegal content, which I think should be illegal or undesirable activities, I'm suggesting that we might want to consider changing the definition of that to something simpler than what was laid out. It's just an idea. You may want to, in other words, it may be appropriate to change the definition a little bit based on the fact that the actual term used is illegal and undesirable activities, not undesirable content. And we could do something like illegal or undesirable activities are activities that violate the law somewhere or activities that somebody finds harmful or objectionable. Just a suggestion, but to deal with that slightly broader term. And then my sense about number 8, which is actually technical measures, effective measures, and adequate corrective measures, is that probably the definition could stay the same, but I wanted to bring that to your attention to see if you agreed or wanted to suggest changes to the definition that match that term.
Any questions or comments on these two suggested changes that Liz just discussed? Is anybody opposed to those changes?
Well, didn't
Tim, go ahead.
Didn't the this is Tim. Didn't the IPC propose to strike 8 completely?
Yes, we did.
And so that would change if we.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'd be glad to talk about that if that's.
Yeah, it'd be good to talk about it right now, Steve.
Yeah. Well, first I apologize that we edited the earlier version here, but looking at the. It really was once we looked at the January 9th version after we already done the editing that we had this concern. First of all, as Liz pointed out, the original phrase was not in any of the hypotheses, and as I understood, our goal was to clarify what was meant by the use of the terms in the hypotheses. Then that seemed to be we didn't need a definition of a term that wasn't used in the hypotheses. And then, you know, there are phrases that look kind of similar, but in fact they mean totally different things in GAC Study 3 and GAC Study 4. One of them has to do with measures to prevent misuse of WHOIS data. The other has to do with measures to correct inaccurate WHOIS data, as I recall. I mean, these are, you know, they're both measures, but that's about all they have in common. So bringing them under one umbrella doesn't seem to be clarifying, perhaps the opposite. You know, on the theory that we wanted to move ahead with this document and get it out, we just suggested striking this because it since it referred to a phrase that wasn't in any of the hypotheses, and since the phrases that were kind of similar in other hypotheses actually meant different things. You know, maybe that it would be helpful to have this. The definitions of both of those phrases or all those phrases, but we didn't think we should go ahead with 8 as it stood. The other point I would make is that to talk about a proxy service as a technical measure doesn't seem right. I mean, I think what's involved there, I mean, I would defer really to Steve Del Bianco, I think is probably the author of that original hypothesis going way back, as to whether he was talking about things like CAPTCHA or whether he was talking about privacy services as a means of preventing WHOIS misuse.
And you're still
but it just seems like that's, I mean, privacy services are marketed on that basis, but they're not a technical measure, I don't think. They don't really, I don't think they really fit the definition of a technical measure. They are you know, a marketing or a service that's being offered.
Now, Steve, are you talking about, in that regard, are you talking about 8 or 1?
8. I'm only talking about 8.
Only talking about 8. Okay.
Yes.
The technical
I don't have any problem with 1, and again, I apologize that we seem to have edited the earlier version.
Okay.
I agree
right.
that we should use, and I certainly agree with Liz, we should use the phrase that's used in the hypotheses and not some other phrase.
Okay. Steve Del Bianco.
Thanks. Steve Metalis mentioned the notion of technical measures, and the context in which that was used is strictly with respect to whether spam is enabled through harvesting of email addresses, harvesting in an automated fashion from WHOIS data records, and it was to prevent that very abuse that CAPTCHA was suggested as an effective technical measure. So it's not a privacy so much per se, but rather to prevent the automated harvesting of email addresses for the purposes of sending spam. So in that context, it's okay to call it a technical measure, but I don't think it's a technical measure to protect privacy per se.
Thank you. Now, anybody opposed to just deleting number 8?
Was the original term that we had identified from Cairo?
Say that a little bit louder, Tim.
Please. What was the original term that was identified in Cairo?
So I mistakenly wrote adequate protective measures, but there are several studies. Study 3 contains the term technical measures. Study 4 refers to adequate corrective measures. So adequate protective measures actually doesn't exist literally in any of the proposals, but technical measures appears in Study 3, and adequate corrective measures appears in GAC Study 4.
Do those two terms need definitions?
This is Tim. That was one of them that suggested we keep a list of terms. I would just say I don't have a problem with leaving 8 out. What are those other terms?
What was the last thing you said there, Tim?
Leaving 8 as it is now, or either of the other terms Liz just mentioned, I'd have no problem just leaving those out.
So are you suggesting leaving 8 as it is? Is that what I heard you say?
No, I'm suggesting we just delete 8.
Okay.
And do not add the other two terms.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, thanks. You were breaking up a little bit on my headset, so that's why I asked you to repeat it. Thanks a lot. Anybody opposed to just removing 8 and not adding the other two terms? Okay. Liz, we've got our direction there, I think.
Great.
Okay.
I'm sorry for the confusion.
That's okay. And now, Steve Metalis, would you talk about the suggestions? And if I remember correctly, they have to do with the context, right, of the terms?
Well, no, I mean, our other suggestion, I mean, we have a few suggestions to several of the definitions. I guess in number 2, in number 3.
Why don't you just go ahead and go through them, and we'll take them one at a time and see if there are any objections
okay.
to making the changes.
The main point in 2 is to take out a parenthetical. It now reads, you know, listing some harmful actions. When applied to WHOIS data, such harmful, this is the second sentence of number 2. When applied to WHOIS data, such harmful actions may include the generation of spam, the abuse of personal data, paren, using the data for purposes not disclosed to the individual, close paren. My concern with that is that I don't think that's an entirely accurate statement of what constitutes abuse of personal data. Often, it's considered acceptable to use data for purposes that are compatible with the purposes that are disclosed to the individual. And the other thing is, since we're talking about this in the WHOIS context, and the party that's making the disclosure in this case is not the party that's using the data, or may not be the party that's using the data. the disclosure is made by the registrar, and there's certain requirements for what they have to disclose in the RAA. The use is being made by someone who is query. So it's two different parties, and I just think it's confusing to use that example in the parenthetical. I'm happy to say the abuse of personal data, and leave that in there.
And just strike the parenthetical.
Strike the parenthetical. That's the main case. The others are really just kind of stylistic.
Did somebody want to?
This is Tim.
Go ahead.
That parenthetical actually doesn't exist in the more recent version that we were working with.
It doesn't.
And the first part of that is actually worded a little different. So I think maybe Steve should look at that so that we're all on the same page to make sure that.
We added it. That was something we added on the last call.
I see it on the as something added. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it on what I'm looking at too.
Oh, so then the last part of the first sentence then was removed. If such purpose was disclosed.
Yeah, that's not there.
Yeah, I don't see that.
And so why was that? Well, why was the change made then? I must have missed this call.
I missed the call too, so I apologize. I can't really.
The original first sentence said, misuse is an action that causes actual harm, is the predicate to such harm, is illegal or illegitimate, or is otherwise considered contrary to intention and design of a stated legitimate purpose. And then a comma was added, and the words, if such purpose was disclosed.
I wouldn't have any problem with that if we want to go back to that language.
And that, if that was there, Tim, you'd be okay with deleting the parenthetical in the next sentence?
No, yeah, deleting that, right. And then the other two changes are, I think, clarifying and...
What other two changes are you talking about?
Just the adding often includes automated email harvesting, I think that makes sense. And then the last sentence, contrary to predicate, makes sense.
Okay. So, then, is anybody opposed to reinserting the phrase after the comma in the at the end of what is now the first sentence, and then deleting the parenthetical in the second sentence? Okay. Liz, you got that?
Yes, I do.
Steve, go ahead.
Okay, the next is on three, commercial purpose, and it's really just to insert legal or legally, when we're talking about legal exchange of goods, services, information.
So which sentence are you in there?
It's in the second sentence, I guess, after the colon.
Mm-hmm.
And we would say to legally exchange goods, services.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Or facilitate. Romanet 1, the legal exchange of goods, and then Romanet 2, the ordinary course of legal trade or business.
So there's two insertions of legal there, correct?
One of legally.
Legally and legal, okay.
Yeah.
Any problems with that? Okay. Liz, got it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
And then in 5, it's just to change copyright owners to intellectual property owners, since it also affects trademark owners.
Any problems with that?
Maybe just because some people are careful, we should list both as opposed to going to intellectual property, which can be seen as even a broader or indistinct category sometimes. Just list copyright and trademark owners if you want to be specific.
Would that be okay, Steve?
I don't have a problem. I mean, this is obviously not, it says and others, so it's not an exhaustive.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Liz, you got that one?
Yes.
Okay.
And then in 6, it's just stylistic because it says balances the need to balance, and so we took out one of the balances.
That sounds like a good idea.
I'm balancing, baby.
Oh, you got that one, Liz?
Yes, I did.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
I didn't think that would be too controversial. And I think that was it. If I'm looking, at the documents we sent in, I don't see any other. If he just taken out, then I don't think there were any others.
And keep in mind that this will be ready to be referenced in the motion and so forth.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that if we found something later on, it couldn't be fixed. So it's not as if this is a real rigid deadline in terms of fixing anything we find. In fact, the staff may come back and say, hey, this definition isn't clear still, and we need to work on it. So, all right. Does anyone else have any comments with regard to the seven terms that are defined?
This is Aubrey.
Go ahead, Aubrey.
I think this goes with what you said, but, I mean, we need to make sure that we're marking these as working definitions. And so it is in the nature of working definitions that they're always being worked on.
In fact, would it make sense to modify the title slightly and say working definitions of key terms that may be used in future HUA studies?
I think that would be good.
Any objections to that? Okay. Anything else on the key terms? Sorry to go a little bit over here. I think that brings us to the end of the agenda. Our next meeting will be same time 2 weeks from today. And at that time, we will finalize, if we haven't already done so. If we were able to finalize it on the list, we might not even have to have the meeting. But assuming that we don't finalize the motion on the list, we'll have the meeting 2 weeks from today.
That's on the 4th of February, Chuck?
That is correct.
Thank you.
And the sooner you get that message out on that meeting, the sooner people get it on their calendars and let
I'll do that.
Okay. So that
and I think great. Offering to not have the meeting if we finish all our work on the list has shown itself to be one of the greatest incentives.
Yeah, I know.
To get work done on the list.
I will do that. That's good. So we did that in the OSC and avoided a meeting. So that's excellent. Okay. All right. Anything else? Well, thanks everybody. A good productive meeting, and we'll talk to you on the list. Okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
Bye.
Bye.